It's great to see you guys today. And we're exactly halfway through with our 60-60 experiment, our soul revolution. Glad that you're here. And today we're going to talk about how people really change. How is it that people really can change? Here's a fundamental truth that we have to know about each and every one of us. We all desire to be known and loved. We all long to be known and loved, and yet there are things about us that we don't want people to know about us, because if they knew those things, they would not love us, and they would not want to know us. We believe that if people really knew us, they would not love us, and so we try to bury those things. We run from those things. We hide from those things. And what we begin to discover and realize is that we can't hide from them, because they actually contaminate our lives. And they keep us from experiencing what we long for, and that's to be loved. So today we're going to talk about how people really change. And it begins with being known. Here's a fact of life that everybody knows is true, but nobody really talks about. Pre-adolescent boys smell bad. Everybody knows it, but nobody wants to talk about it. When boys hit like 11, 12, 13 years old, they begin to experience legitimate body odor. And I remember when I realized that was my life. I was like 11 years old, and I said to my friend, "Man, something stinks." And he was like, "Yeah, something stinks." And he was like, "What is it?" And I was like, "Well, I think it's you." And he's like, "No, I don't think it's me." And then it hit me. I realized, it's me. It's me. See, up until that point in my life, it was always somebody else who stunk. And I could easily point out to my pre-adolescent friends that they didn't smell good. I didn't have any trouble telling my friends, "Dude, you ain't right. You smell bad." But now, I had to admit that I did not smell good. I had preteen BO, and it's not pretty. See, the reality of being the boy who smelled, it made me want to hide out. And I realized that it wasn't going to go away, and that you can't hide it. And I didn't want to be that guy, and I didn't want to offend, and I certainly didn't want to be the one to bear the brunt of the stinky jokes. And it's not pretty, but when you are aware that you have a problem, you can begin to take care of it. You begin showering more often. You realize that when you perspire like I do, that shower before bed at night only gets you through the night. It doesn't get you through the next day without stinking. So you shower more, and you wash more, and you clean more. You shower more and more, and you clean more and more, and then you add a second level of protection. Because your mama loves you, she buys you one of those Old Spice gift packs at Christmas. You get yourself some of that Old Spice solid antiperspirant and deodorant, and you start using that so that when the funk begins to return, you at least have some form of defense. And let's face it, the bottom line, at the end of the day, girls don't like stinky boys. I'm surprised I only got one amen out of that. See, your friends might tolerate it, but they would prefer that you not stink. And the girls definitely prefer that you not stink. At least that's what my life experience tells me. And here's really my point. We can easily smell another person. We can easily identify the mistakes of other people. If you've been walking through this 60-day experiment with us and trying to stay connected to God throughout the day and trying to respond to God's leading throughout the day, you are beginning to realize how many mistakes we make throughout the day. If you're like me, you are realizing that there are patterns in our lives that hinder us from doing God's will. We are realizing that there are things that keep us stuck and keep us from loving God and loving other people. And many times, when we smell the stench of that, it makes us want to run from God. We want to bury it and pretend that it's going away, but it doesn't work that way. Until we face it and let God clean us up and remove it from our lives, it continues to affect our lives. And we cannot be free of it. Check this out in 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 through 9. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. All right, so here's our deal. We have these things that we struggle with. We have specific things that we struggle with in life. And all the things that we struggle with, sin, addiction, relational issues, anger issues, they all stem from deeper issues. We have issues. And our first issue is that we play God instead of allowing God to be God. Our number one issue that causes all these problems in our lives is that we try to play God instead of allowing God to be God. And we cannot follow God's leading moment by moment because we're too busy trying to lead ourselves as if we are God. In addition to playing God, we tend to bury these things and they just continue to produce stench in our lives. And that's why we've been talking about surrendering. That's why we've been talking about being willing to follow God's leading. Now, in addition to a willingness to follow God's leading and surrendering to God's leading, we can add another important element. We have to do a spiritual inventory. If we want to get serious about removing the stench from our lives, we have to stop playing God and we have to do a spiritual inventory. And there's one more key element that I want to talk about today. We must share what God is doing and what we're experiencing and what causes us to struggle. We need to share those things with another person. See, we're talking about bringing everything into the light. We're talking about bringing everything to light. And there's something incredibly powerful about doing a spiritual inventory and allowing God to dig out what hinders our walk. And allowing God to remove what hinders our walk. See, God digs out the roots of what keeps stinking up our lives and keeps us from becoming all that God wants us to be and all that we know He created us to be. Now, here's why this is so important. Anything that stays buried or hidden or in the dark holds power over us. But when those things are brought to light, then we can be free from them. When those things are dug up and removed, the freedom that we experience when they are removed can be exhilarating. Now, I want you to encourage to read this week chapters 10 through 13 in Soul Revolution, because John's going to talk more broadly about how people change. There are stories there about how people change. Now, I've mentioned three key elements. I mentioned allowing God to be God and following His leading, and I've mentioned sharing our struggles with another. And today, I really want to focus on this one, taking spiritual inventory. This is an extremely important element to us making progress in this 60-60 experiment. And I want us to focus on this spiritual inventory because it is our inclination to do a flyby on this because it's difficult. Our inclination will be just to touch on this because it's a hard thing to do. It's a difficult thing for us to do. Now, when you get to the end of chapter 11 in Soul Revolution, you will see that John has included a spiritual inventory for us. And it's a wonderful exercise for each one of us to work through. And here's the key passage that we should consider when doing a spiritual inventory. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life." Now, I want to tell you right now, you're not going to pray this unless you're serious with God. Because if you ask God to reveal in you what is amiss with Him, He will show you. He will tell you. He'll make it clear. By His Spirit, He will make it clear. All right? Now, here are the categories that you're going to find in this spiritual inventory that you're going to do at the end of chapter 11. The first thing you're going to deal with is pride and selfishness. Now, this will not surprise any of us. Very often, the greatest source of stench in our lives stems from pride, selfishness, and self-centeredness. Self-centered behavior stinks. And most of the time, our friends know that we stink, but we don't know that we stink. Some of you are incredibly self-centered, and you're so self-centered, you don't know that you're self-centered. That behavior stinks, so here's what we do. We sit down with a piece of paper or a pen with a computer, and we say, "God, search my heart. God, show me honestly if there is pride or self-centered behavior that's stinking up my life right now." And when He reveals it to you, you write it down. Admit it. Confess it to Him. And decide if you're willing to allow God to remove it. Do you have any pride or self-centeredness in your life right now that is just stinking up your life? Now, before you answer, before you do the exercise, let me warn you about this. It's very difficult to see in yourself. In our sinful condition, it is very difficult to see in ourselves. And again, we can see it in others. We can smell it a mile away in others. It's obvious to us in others, but it may not be so obvious to ourselves. Many times we cannot smell our own odor. And if we smell something, we think it's somebody else. By the way, that's probably a pretty good clue. If you always think it's somebody else, it's probably you that stinks. See, we have to be aware of this. Because pride causes us to look down on others. Pride makes us want to prove that we're smarter than, better looking than, stronger than, or richer than, or more powerful than. And pride is what powers our justifications and our excuses and our rationalizations. Pride is what powers our inability to admit when we're wrong. And pride, by the way, is what will keep us from doing this spiritual inventory. As soon as I said end of chapter 11, some of you guys shut down, and I'm telling you that's pride. If you think you're too proud or too good to read chapters 10 through 13 in Soul Revolution and then do the exercise at the end of chapter 11, I can tell you right now you're self-centered and proud. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm saying you're proud if you refuse to even accept the possibility that you need to do a spiritual inventory. That's pride. See, pride tells us, you know, that's a good exercise for other people, But I don't really have any needs that need to be dug up or addressed. Pride and self-centeredness is the source of our incredibly powerful denial mechanism that we possess and that we have to continually fight against. We can't even smell it on ourselves. That's why Jesus hammered the religious crowd of his day over and over and over again about their pride. And Jesus was so hard on them because they wouldn't own up to it. They tried to hide it and cover it up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. God attacks pride because it blinds us from the truth. It will keep us from doing this inventory. It keeps us stuck. I mean, at the very least, it leaves us right where we are. Pride keeps us doing things that wreck our lives and wreak havoc on our relationships. Ask God to reveal them to you and write it down. Ask God to reveal it to you and then write it down. The second thing you're going to deal with in this task, in this job, is you're going to deal with resentments. See, resentments are the next big source of stink in our lives. Resentment causes us all kinds of hidden pains that we attempt to medicate. And so we drink too much, we drug, we become workaholics, we get involved in porn, we develop eating disorders and harm ourselves in more desperate ways. And we do all this to cover pain. The scripture deals with anger as the source of our resentment in Ephesians 4. Paul writes, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, get this straight, all right? It's not wrong or sinful to be angry. It's not wrong to be angry, but you have to go to that person right away and deal with the issues and deal with your anger so that you can get past it and move on. Don't sleep on it. Don't let it simmer and begin to boil. If you bury it and pretend that it will go away, it will turn into resentment and it will begin to stink up your life. So do the inventory. Name those resentments. Write them down. Write down the names of those people that you're angry with or that you resent. Now, if you're like me and you've been a Christian for a long time, you don't like the words anger and resentment. And so write down the names of those that frustrate you. Because frustration is just a word for religious people that means mad as hell. Write it down. Write their name and then write the cause. I hate my business partner for cutting me out. I hate my dad for his unrealistic demands when I was growing up. I hate my ex-wife for even existing. So you write it down and then you say, God, this is a hurting and broken person just like me. And then you say, God, would you show me the part that I played in this rift? Let me be honest about it. Let me own my part. And then ask God to remove the resentment and the behavior and the stink that it causes in your life. Let it go. Hand them over to God. Let God judge. Let God make it right in the end so that you can be free now. Now, remember, we're trying to learn to stay connected to the God of grace. Resentment will not allow that. Resentment will spin us away from God and off to 100 different things. Now check this out. It takes courage. It takes courage to let go of resentment. It takes courage to dive into this exercise. Have the courage to face it. And let God remove it and let it go. Then you're going to deal with fears and insecurities. You know, many times the difficulties that we face in life are the result of deeply rooted and buried fears and insecurities. And let's just be honest, fear causes us to do some crazy things. And these fears and insecurities, they can go all the way back to elementary school. When I realized as an 11-year-old that I had pre-adolescent BO, I became fearful. Even paranoid about my appearance and about my smell. Because I was afraid of ridicule. I was afraid of being teased. I was afraid of being offensive. So I got fanatical about my personal hygiene. In life, we fear not being valuable enough, or successful enough, or capable enough. And that might cause us to cut ethical corners. It might cause us to lie or cheat or steal. It may cause us to step on others as we climb the ladder of success. And we may have some emotional fears. We may fear that we will never be loved. And that may cause us to be codependent. And that leads to people using us and people abusing us. We don't feel love, and so we can't stand up and respect ourselves, or we might become the person who takes advantage and controls and tries to dominate other people because of our fears and insecurities. What fears are you hiding in your life? What insecurities remain from your past? Write them down. Write them down. And then go back to that chapter in the scriptures that we looked at last week. Go back to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, Paul writes, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. And now we call Him Abba Father." No matter what fear we have, we can bring it to our Father God. And as we walk in His light, our fears dissipate. And then we can live with freedom. Let's talk about one more. Moral failures. Now, this might be the most difficult one to write down. And I'm guessing for sure it will be the most difficult one to confess, not just to God, but to another person. I mean, because some of this other stuff, other people may have had a part in. But this is all us. We own this, and that's why it's so difficult to come clean. We tend to deny. We tend to blame. But this is all of us. We have to own it. We have to admit it. Even when God's Spirit convicts us, we keep hiding and denying and rationalizing and making excuses. It's where we started in 1 John chapter 1. When we deny, when we hide, we are living in darkness. But if we will simply confess it to God, He will forgive us. God will help us dig it up, and God will help us remove it if we will cop to it. And we can be free of those things. Write them down. Confess them to God. If we will, He will cleanse us and set us free. And then when you tell another person, that's part of the exercise, when you tell another person, when you confess to another person, you experience another level of freedom that allows you to live with security. And it takes courage. It takes courage to say, "God, search my heart. God, search my heart. And if you find anything, anything that offends you, point it out to me. Because I want to confess it. I want it out in the open. I want to be forgiven. And I want to live free from the stink and bondage of sin. Let me say this. When you pray this, when you say, God, I mean, just reveal it all to me, God. When you say that, you may still be struggling with that behavior. Some of you will say, well, how can I confess this to God when I still want to do it? Confess it anyway. Confess it and ask God to make you willing to follow His leading. If you were over it, He wouldn't need to reveal it to you. Ask God to show you a better way. Ask Him to put you on a better path. See, it takes courage to dig it up. And when you dig it up, you might gag on the smell. Own it before yourself, and own it before God, and then own it before another person. And you will feel release. And that's what God wants. He wants you to live with freedom and release. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross to purchase our freedom from sin. It's the greatest price that was ever paid, and it was paid to set us free from sin. And we've all made moral mistakes. We've all sinned. And some of us believe that we have made huge moral mistakes, so big that even God couldn't get over it. Well, the truth is we probably all have. In fact, just in this congregation today, maybe 120 people, we could probably own up to just about everything that any of us could ever think of. By the way, can I tell you, if you've been a Christian like me for a long time, you know, just get over it, because people have been through junk. And don't act like your junk's not as bad as their junk. I'm telling you, fasten your seatbelt when you go to your small group this week, because somebody's liable to say something that will shock you. Don't be shocked. We are all in this together. Just in this room, we could probably confess to everything that any of us could ever imagine. And here's the thing, really. It's not really the biggies that we struggle with. The moral failures, the sins that cause us the most trouble, are the little ones that we continue to justify and rationalize. But see, all of it has a stench that clouds what God wants to do in our lives. And we must decide, will we own up to them? Will we write them down, and will we confess them? And will we receive forgiveness so that we can live with freedom? And let me just add one more thing to this. The last part of the inventory is to tell a trustworthy person. Those two words are very important. A trustworthy person. Don't share this with the person who struggles with the stench of gossip in their life. Wrong person to tell. Tell a trustworthy person. Now, some of us are going to bristle at this one item about telling another person, because we don't want anybody seeing our list. It's just between me and God. Why does anybody else need to know? I mean, how could I ever face these people if they knew what was on my list? And see, we think, because of 1 John 1, we think that just confessing to God is enough. And that kind of sounds good, but that's not what the Bible says. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. See, we need people to pray for us. And we need people to encourage us. And we need accountability. And we need somebody to speak grace into our lives. We need somebody in our corner. Folks, it is unbelievably freeing to tell another person, as you admit it to yourself and as you admit it to God. Look, we can play mind games here. We can play around with this, but we need complete honesty. We need to get it out there. By the way, God already knows. God knows it before we confess it. But we need to tell somebody else, because if we don't tell another person, we can still hide. And we will hide because we're afraid of being known. And if I'm really known, they might not love me. So I'm not getting out there. When you admit it, and God knows it, and somebody else knows it, the darkness lifts. And the stench is dug up and removed. And we are set free to walk with Christ. We're set free to be the people that God intended. So choose a person that you trust. In your book, in Soul Revolution, on page 163, there are rules for your listener. Have them read them. Ask them to abide by them. And then tell them. Tell them. Get it out in the light. And live in freedom. Would you pray with me? If you're planning to be baptized today, or if you want to be baptized today, even if you didn't sign up, even if you didn't think you came prepared, we'd love for you to take that step of obedience with us. Just come on forward and go on back. People up there to help you. Father God, we can't imagine anything more difficult than digging up the sin and the fears and the insecurities and the resentments in our heart. God, even though they haunt us, we're so afraid of being known. So God, we ask for courage today. We ask for the power of your Spirit today to move in our hearts, to move in our lives, so that we might, first of all, admit it to ourselves and then admit it to you, and then tell somebody else so that they can pray for us and encourage us, so they can speak grace into our lives, so that even though they know us, they can love us. Father, we need your help. And so we say today, we're willing, we surrender to have you move in us, Lord, to move us to a place where we can embrace and walk through this exercise. And God, we pray all this in Jesus' name, thanking him for our forgiveness. Amen.